Welcome to the Texas Home Improvement Super Podcast with Jim Dutton. All the best calls this week throughout the state of Texas. Brought to you by Floor & Decor. Largest selection of hard surface flooring and lowest prices guaranteed.
Jerry, welcome. How can I help you today?
Yes, sir. I'm tired of fighting mosquitoes. And I want to look at getting a mosquito misting system, and I really don't know where to go because there's a whole bunch of different ones out there. But I talked to one person. They said they actually had a system that not only did mosquitoes, but all the other, you know, insects and stuff. So you really didn't need any pest control. Is there such a thing?
There is. It puts out different chemicals and stuff. You know, there's also systems out there that use natural products, you know, so you're not having to inhale pesticides and stuff as well. So it kind of depends on what how you're wanting to do it. Keep in mind, the more pests you go after, the more chemicals they got to use. So I'll give you the name of two companies that you can take a look at. One is Mosquito Nicks.
Okay.
And they've got a misting system that is great for the mosquitoes around your patios and different areas like that. And then if you want to take a look at one that is more of a natural type product, take a look at Cedarside, because they have a misting system that also uses natural type products, so you don't have all the chemicals.
That sounds better. I like that. All right. Well, that was my question.
They're actually out of Spring, Texas. If you the Cedarside stuff.
Okay. Well, I will look them up. Thank you very much.
You bet. You take it easy. Well, their website. I can give that to you real quick because it's Cedar, and then Side is CIDE.
Yes, sir.
.com.
Thank you very much.
You bet. You take care.
Have a great day. Bye.
Bye. Brian, this is Jim. How can I help you?
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So, I am building a garage with an office on it, metal frame building. OSB,
okay.
And then siding on the outside of it. What's the best way of attaching that OSB to the metal frame?
Well, you can have two ways of doing it. One would be you can attach 2x4 material to the metal frame and, you know, using the sheet metal screws and such. Or you can attach the plywood straight to the metal frame using the screws. If the steel that you're using is too heavy for the sheet metal screws, then you have to just drill it and bolt it into place.
Yeah.
But typically, you're able to use the sheet metal screws.
What about using a concrete nail gun and nails?
Usually, that's not going to hold up too well.
Okay, got it. Okay. All right.
But if you need a place to practice, you know, and test all your theories out on how to do it, I'd be more than happy to let you come build one at my house first.
Of course. All right. Thank you, sir. You have a blessed day.
All righty. You take care. Richard, how can I help you today?
Hi, Jim. I just wanted to touch base with you. My attic is pretty good size attic. I have a two-story home, and I don't know what to do with it because it's staying hot, you know, well into the evening. And I don't know if it's lack of insulation or do I need to install a radiant barrier? It got worse, you know, last year when we were hitting the, you know, over 100 every day, you know, and
right.
I had like a $500-something light bill. What would you recommend on that type of attic? Yeah, I've got turbines in there, but I've got two or three turbines, soffits, you know?
You got soffit vents for the air to come in?
Yeah.
And how much insulation you have in the attic?
I've got some blown-in insulation. The house was built in 78, or 77, I'm sorry. And, I don't know if that's original or not, you know?
Okay. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is blown-in insulation over time will settle and it loses its R value. And you end up adding more insulation on top of it or putting a radiant barrier on top. Now, in my own house, I went with the radiant barrier. And I did that about 20 years ago. And, my electric bill for last summer, I actually had one of the highest that I've had. It did go over 220, but normally I'm running around $200 for a 3,000 square foot house.
Yeah, that's my house too. So you would recommend a radiant barrier maybe up next to the roof?
Yes, sir. Yeah. No, I put it on the attic floor on top of the insulation. I use a product called Energy Q Radiant Barrier.
Okay.
And it blocks the heat that gets in the attic from getting into the living space. Makes a huge difference. And where you can really tell is when you have it over the top of the pull-down staircase, you pull your staircase down, you don't feel any heat at all coming in the living space. You move that radiant barrier, and it's just like a gush of hot air coming in. So it does make a huge difference.
What was it called?
Energy Q, the letter Q.
Okay. Energy Q, radiant barrier.
Yep.
Okay, well, that's what I need to find out because, like, I don't want those big bills. I'm retired, and messes up budget.
You can give them a call if you want. Talk to Mark, and the number is 1-800-900-6220.
Okay. Mark. All right.
Yep.
I will do that. I appreciate your help.
You bet. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye. Mark, you doing all right today?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Thank you, Mr. Dutton. Got a quick question for you. I am a first-time homeowner and 3,000 square feet, two stories. And it seems like you need a meteorology degree to figure out how to set two different thermostats, especially when you've got that big open area at the bottom and the stairwell that goes up to the top floor.
Yep.
I cannot figure out if there is just a general theory of how to set these things. But, of course, all the warm air is going to go right upstairs, and where the return is and where the thermostat's measuring the temperature. It just seems like it's going to run that upstairs unit all the time and cause the bedrooms upstairs to be cooler than they need to be, and the downstairs is going to receive all the cold air spilling over the top. Just wanted to hear your comments as to what's the theory on this?
Well, you nailed it on the head. That big staircase is... Yep, that's your kiss of death. It just takes everything straight upstairs.
Dang it.
So is all the return air upstairs?
No, I mean, there's, like I said, there's the two units. So you've got, I guess the return is, we're saying that's where the air is being recycled back into the system, correct, where the filter is?
Okay. Well, the reason I was asking that, there's two ways that they do this. One is with a single unit that's a zoned split system. The other is with the two units. And it sounds like you've got two units, one for upstairs, one for downstairs, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. In that situation, set your downstairs one to where you can stay comfortable during the day. And then in the evenings, when you're having to go upstairs, yes, you're going to find that during the day, the hot air has been kind of going upstairs. In the evenings, though, when the sun goes down, you're able to adjust that thermostat to make the bedrooms comfortable at night. When you have that big open space that takes the air upstairs, it's difficult to balance it out during the day. It can be done, but you're going to run the upstairs one so hard that you're using a lot of energy. So what you tend to do is let the upstairs during the day warm up a little bit more than the downstairs is. Now, where people run into a problem with that is they've got a game room or a media room upstairs. They want to keep that comfortable during the day. You can do it, but it's going to run the energy bill up.
Yeah, that's exactly the scenario. So you're saying just comfort downstairs, let upstairs warm up during the day. And so, and then at nighttime, let the upstairs do a little more work than downstairs.
Yeah. And then what ends up happening is, your downstairs during the night, a lot of times will get a little bit warmer than the upstairs. So you're kind of flip flopping what you're doing, but, you know, don't let the upstairs, don't shut it off upstairs, but don't expect it to stay the temperature that you want downstairs, because it's just not going to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep messing with it and see what we come up with. Also, how about baffling? Somebody had talked about if you had an unequal heating in your rooms, maybe you could do baffles. And then I started thinking, well, gosh, I wish the thermostat wouldn't measure the air temperature right where the return is. I wish I could almost have it measuring the temperature from another spot, like one of the other rooms.
Oh, you can. Just move the thermostat. It sounds like a major deal to do, but it's not that major. It definitely can be moved. And then some of the other, you can do other things also to help equalize things. The baffling won't do it simply because, and that was why I asked the question, is it one unit or two? If it was one unit, then you can redirect air by baffling. The other thing you may want to take a look at is that energy cue we were talking about a few minutes ago. Because that'll keep the heat that's in the attic from getting down into that living space. And that's really what's killing you more than the downstairs, because the heat is just staying up there and coming in from the attic. And it's really inexpensive to do, especially compared to messing with the air conditioning system. So I'd highly recommend you take a look at that, and I think that'll help you more than anything.
Sure will. Thanks.
You bet. Take care. Chris, welcome to Texas Home Improvement.
Hey, how you doing?
Wonderful. How about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I had a question about I'm thinking about making like over the back patio of my house, like a pergola type thing. And, you know, where obviously I'm going to have to add some posts to the bottom of it that go down into the ground. And I, you know, always automatically think of like, you know, some 6x6 or something like that. But I've heard that making I-beams would be just as sturdy. Have you you have any info on that?
You broke up on me for just a second there. Using steel I-beams or aluminum or what are we?
No, like getting like a 2 6x6s and a 2x4.
Oh. And you're talking about doing that just for the post?
Yeah, for the post, and then, you know, obviously, like put some like cedar pieces on the outside, so it almost looks like a cedar beam.
Yeah, you won't have anything heavy enough that you need to worry about doing that.
Okay, well, like going as the support post in the ground. I was just thinking of it would be more cost effective, I would think, to buy something like that than a 6x6 post.
Probably not by the time you buy. Yeah, not by the time you buy two of them and the 2x4s and everything. I think you'd be better off to just get the 6x6 post or even just a 4x4. I mean, what are you going to make the cover itself out of?
Well, I'm contemplating going back and forth from a deck that you can walk out of on the second story, or just a pergola with the slats.
You know, be honest with you, when I built mine, I went pergola with the slats. And for decoration purposes, yes, I have a 6x6 post out of cedar on there. And you know, depending on what you want to build everything else out of, I like the looks of cedar and the durability of it. You don't have to worry about it twisting and bending and warping and all that kind of stuff like you would with a treated post. And so that's the reason I went with it. If you put in, you know, the 2x6s and 2x4 into that center thing and you do it with treated, I can guarantee you it's going to twist and warp. And even though you encase it with cedar to make it look good, it's going to pop that stuff loose because the force of that board inside twisting is not going to, the cedar's not going to be able to hold it in place, the nails.
Okay. Yeah, because I was thinking like if I'm looking for like a 10 or 12 foot 6x6 of cedar, that's not going to be cheap.
Nope.
I would think that those probably go for at least $100 a piece or something like that, right?
Yeah, they do, but you know, you're probably going to have $60 into the going the other way, plus the cover.
So if I was going to make it a deck, and say it's, you know, 12 by 6, would you go with the 6? You'd probably think 6 by 6 at least, right? If since there'll be weight on top, people walking.
The post itself would be fine with a 6 by 6. Then what you got to be worried about is, what are you going to use for your floor joist up there for that deck to make sure that they span? You're probably going to be looking at, you said a 12 by what?
Say 12 by 6. I mean, 6 coming off of the house, or maybe about 8 coming off the house and about 12 feet wide.
Okay. So as long as you're running your joist towards the house, you'd be able to probably go with a 2 by 6, 2 by 8 with no problem.
Okay. Yeah. I was thinking about just, you know, putting a ledger board across the back and having them tie in there with some joist hangers.
Yep. That would do it.
Cool. Well, I appreciate the info. Thank you, sir.
You bet, Chris. You take care.
You've just heard the best calls and questions from Texas Home Improvement. For more information about our show, go to thipro.com.